सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी प्रभुपाद तिरुभातिथि महोत्सव की जय। हरे कृष्ण। नमः ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी पिचायने। निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश चरण। नमः ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती इति नामिने। श्री वार्षभानवि देवी दायताय कृपाधिये कृष्ण संबंध विज्ञान दायने प्रभवे नमः। माधुर्योज्वल प्रेमाढ्याशी रूपानोग भक्ति राशि गौर करुणा शक्ति विग्रहाय नमोस्तुते। नमस्ते गौरवाणी श्री मूर्ति ये दीनतारिणे रूपानोग विरुद्धा सिद्धांत ध्वंधारिणे। नमो गौर किशोराय साक्षाद वैराग्य मूर्तये विप्रलंभर सांबोधे पादांबुजाय ते नमः। नमो भक्ति विनोदाय सच्चिदानंद नामिने गौर शक्ति स्वरूपाय रूपानुगमराय ते गौरावि भाव भूमे त्वं निर्देष्ट सज्जन प्रिय वैष्णव सार्वभौम श्री जगन्नाथाय ते नमः। वंदेहम श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः परकमलम श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथं वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता शिवशाखान्वितांश्च। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। टुडे इज द सेलिब्रेशन ऑफ द डिसअपीयरेंस फ्रॉम दिस वर्ल्ड ऑफ श्रील भक्तिसिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद।
சில பக்தி சித்தாந்த சரஸ்வதி கோஸ்வாமி மகாராஜ் பிரபுபாத் இந்த உலகத்தை விட்டு தெரிந்த அந்த நாளை நம்ம கொண்டாடி கொண்டிருக்கோம்.
So today we should speak about பக்தி சித்தாந்த.
இன்னைக்கு நம்ம பக்தி சித்தாந்த பற்றி நிறைய பேசணும்.
Every day we should speak only பக்தி சித்தாந்த.
ஒவ்வொரு நாளும் நம்ம பக்தி சித்தாந்தத்தை தான் பேசணும்.
Or about பக்தி சித்தாந்த. Or about
அல்லது பக்தி சித்தாந்தத்தை பற்றி பேசணும்.
Like all great personalities, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is very difficult to understand.
பக்தி சித்தாந்த சரஸ்வதி தாக்கூரை போட்டு மிகச்சிறந்த நபர்கள் எல்லாரையும் புரிஞ்சுக்கிறது கஷ்டம்.
ஆக்சுவலி எனிதிங் அபவுட் எனிதிங் இஸ் டிஃபிகல்ட் டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட்.
எதுவுமே எதை பற்றியுமே புரிஞ்சுக்கிறது கஷ்டம்.
அண்ட் இஃப் வி ரியலைஸ் திஸ் தென் வி கேன் டேக் ஷெல்டர் ஆஃப் பக்தி சித்தாந்த அண்ட் பி பிளஸ்ட் வித் தி அபிலிட்டி டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் சம்திங் அபவுட் சம்திங்.
இப்ப இதை புரிஞ்சுட்டோம் அப்படின்னா நம்ம பக்தி சித்தாந்தத்தினுடைய பக்தி சித்தாந்தத்திலே நம்ம தஞ்சம் அடையலாம். அதன் மூலமா அவருடைய கருணையால நம்ம வந்து எதையை பற்றியாவது கொஞ்சமாவது புரிஞ்சுக்கிறதுக்கு வாய்ப்பு இருக்கு.
பட் எஸ்பெஷலி கிரேட் பர்சனாலிட்டிஸ் ஆர் டிஃபிகல்ட் டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட்.
குறிப்பா மிகச்சிறந்த நபர்களை பற்றி புரிஞ்சுக்கிறதுன்றது ரொம்ப கஷ்டம்.
பை அஸ் ஸ்மால் பர்சனாலிட்டிஸ்
நம்ம எல்லாம் ரொம்ப சிறியவர்களா.
As the saying goes, you can't accommodate an elephant on a plate.
ஒரு தட்டில் யானை வைக்க முடியாது அப்படின்னு சொல்ற மாதிரி.
So the attempt to understand Bhakti Siddhanta is not possible for those of us with limited capacity.
எல்லைக்குட்பட்ட தகுதி உடையவர்களான நம்மால பக்தி சித்தாந்தத்தை பற்றி புரிந்து கொள்வதுன்றது முடியாது.
He spent all his life teaching Bhakti Siddhanta.
அவருடைய வாழ்க்கை முழுவதும் பக்தி சித்தாந்தத்தை உபதேசிப்பதற்காகவே வந்தார்.
Although it's not possible to learn Bhakti Siddhanta.
பக்தி சித்தாந்தத்தை கற்றுக்கொள்வதென்றது சாத்தியமில்லாதது
So that might seem like a paradox. Why teach, dedicate your whole life to teaching something that cannot be learned? It cannot be learned because it is achintya, inconceivable. Inconceivable, not inconceivable in the sense of something illogical, like a square circle. But avang manasa gochara, beyond the jurisdiction of the mundane words, intelligence, etc.
In the bhautika mana, vartagal matram arivu nala purinjikka mudiyadha oru vishayam.
There are many reasons that may be so. One of them is because bhakti is by its very nature paradoxical. You can say paradoxical in English and I'll explain a little bit what that means. Do you have the word in Tamil, dvidha? No, you don't have it. It's a similar word. Paradoxical means full of contradictions.
Paradoxical
or at least with one major contradiction. This is one of the features of Bhagavan. Anoraniyan mahato mahiyan, he's the smaller of the smallest, the greater of the great, the greatest of the great.
Anoraniyan mahato mahiyan, seriyadilum.
And there are many apparent contradictions in him. Which simultaneously exist in him or are intrinsic to his very being. Intrinsic means swarup gata in Sanskrit. It's not much help in Tamil. Swarup gata, you can learn that. Important word in philosophy in describing Bhagavan. And it's not that he has these mutually impossible characteristics. They're not possible to be present in one person, but they are always present in Bhagavan. It's not that he's smaller than the smallest sometimes and then sometimes bigger than the biggest. He's always smaller than the smallest and always bigger than the biggest and appears in medium-sized form also. So bhakti means the relationship between the insignificant jiva and the wholly significant Brahma, the supreme reality.
Bhakti abindrathu mukhyathuvame illada oru jeevanukkum adhe mukhyathuvam vaindha Brahmanukkum
How the insignificant jiva can be on an equal or greater footing than the Supreme is a paradox. It is not possible to understand. It doesn't follow any logic or linear way of thinking. Therefore it is achintya, it is inconceivable. And therefore it cannot be learned. You can get your Bhakti Shastri degree, that's alright, but that doesn't mean that you're Bhakti Siddhanta Vit. It doesn't mean that you actually understand what it's all about. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur spent his whole life teaching this, which cannot be learned. It can be in English there are different words, inculcated and imbibed. It's not exactly the same as taught and learned. Imparted, it means like given. But it's not like an object which you give, it's more like something heart to heart. On the whole, it's all rather mysterious. On the whole, it's rather mysterious. Krishna says in Bhagavad, yeah. Did you finish? Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam. He speaks of this as the king of knowledge and the most mysterious. If it's the best knowledge, then after getting it, everything should be clear. But at the same time, it's the most mysterious. So that's paradoxical, that's contradictory, isn't it? So among the many apparent contradictions in the Supreme Person, there are many, many apparent contradictions. Because everything is Him and everything is within Him, everything is of Him, everything is produced of Him, everything is dependent on Him. If you can remember all those things. So there's nothing separate from Him. And therefore all states exist within Him all the time. Ichaiva Sattvika Bhava. Yeah, all states of existence are produced of Him. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a paradoxical figure. You can say mysterious, difficult to understand. Hare Krishna. Because he was preaching bhakti. And bhakti means that the heart should become very soft. But he appeared to be very like a very hard person. Even his disciples were afraid of him. And what to speak of others? And people couldn't understand how is he so hard? This is also stated about Lord Rama. Now, if we think of Lord Rama, we think of a very kind, sheltering figure, is it not? But to Ravana, Marichi, Kara, Dushana and other Rakshasas, they saw him differently. He appeared to be very harsh. Even to himself he was very harsh. He accepted so many difficulties when logically, you might say, it wasn't necessary. So this is described in the Uttarama Charit, quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Uttarama Charit. In relation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vajradapi Kotorani. Ruduni Kusamadapi Lokotaranam Chaitansi. Konu Vigyatam Ishvaraha. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also who's the Prema Pradaya, the giver of Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema Pradaya. He's also described here as hard as a thunderbolt.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Prema Kurakuriya.
And soft as a flower. Who can understand these great personalities? Whose very being is above that of others. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was very hard. Because if we want to try to understand, we can say that he was preaching bhakti in this world. So everything in this world militates against bhakti, or it's opposite to bhakti. It goes against bhakti.
Bhakti ki edhara ellame poyirukku.
So to teach Bhakti Siddhanta, it's not so much a matter of teaching facts and figures.
Bhakti Siddhanta upadeshikirade abindrade pero unmai
information. It's not a matter of information.
Pero unmai patte thagavale kodukiradhu mattum illa.
It's not even teaching some theorems or philosophical concepts. But it's a matter of a change of consciousness. In this material world, the consciousness is of the inhabitants is such that they are completely out of the realm of bhakti. They have no idea. They're just divorced, as if. All right, you can say. Pishachi paile jena mati channa hoy, maya grashta jive hoy shei bhavudoy. Just like the jiva who's swallowed up by maya is like someone who's been haunted by a ghost.
மாயையால கவரப்பட்டு இருக்கக்கூடிய ஒரு ஜீவனானவன் ஒரு பேயால பாதிக்கப்பட்ட ஒரு நபரை போல.
Just like someone who's haunted by a ghost, they'll attack their mother and father and try to kill them. Acting completely out of character, completely against their own self-interest. This is a term that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur often used, apaswartha parayana. In one term, it captures the tragic foolishness of every conditioned soul, that they are apaswartha parayana. They are, yeah, anyway.
அபஸ்வார்த்த பாராயணம் அப்படின்ற அந்த வார்த்தை வந்து சில பக்தி தாக்கூர் பயன்படுத்துவார். இந்த ஒரு வார்த்தையில இந்த முட்டாசமான ஒரு ஜீவனுடைய நிலையை பற்றி முழுக்க வர்ணிக்கப்படுது.
Wholly attached to that which is completely against their own true self-interest.
அவங்க வந்து முழுக்க அவங்களுடைய உண்மையான சுயநலத்தில் மட்டுமே பற்றுடையவர்களாக.
So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was fighting in many arenas at once, or in many directions at once. With all kinds of false religionists and materialists and all kinds of different wrong ideas, he was slashing.
எல்லா விதமான போலியான மதவாதிகள் தத்துவவாதிகள் இவங்களை எல்லாத்தையும் எதிர்த்து அவர் செயல்பட்டார்.
But he especially spoke against or fought with the adhokkita, empiricism. Empiricism. You must have one word. There's no one word.
அவர் வந்து குறிப்பா தன்னுடைய சொந்த மகிழ்ச்சியால
பிரத்யக்ஷவாத அத்யக்ஷிக்த. ஆக்சுவலி இட்ஸ் லிட்டில் மோர் ப்ரிசைஸ். தி ஐடியா தட் நாலேஜ் இஸ் டு பி கெயின்ட் த்ரூ தி சென்சஸ்.
அவங்களுடைய கருத்து அறிவு அப்படின்றது புலன்கள் மூலமா பெறக்கூடியது அப்படின்றது.
That everything can be we understand everything and work out everything ourselves.
நம்ம வந்து எல்லாத்தையும் புரிஞ்சுக்கலாம் இந்த புலன்கள் மூலமா அப்படின்னு நினைக்கிறது.
That we will learn and we will understand and then we'll know everything.
நம்ம கற்றுக்கொள்வோம், நம்ம புரிஞ்சுக்கொள்வோம், அப்புறம் அவ்வளவுதான் அப்படின்னு நினைக்கிறது.
Just like the scientists, they're trying to find the one theory of everything, the one theory that will explain everything. And they keep on coming up with different theories about everything. And they make this theory and it looks wonderful and then everyone cheers and they all follow for some time. They think they've got it all worked out. And then someone points out, whoops, there's something wrong with that theory. Then they all deny it. But eventually they have to admit it. Then they all go back to their computers, I guess, nowadays and try to work it out. And then someone comes up with another theory. and it gets shot down, but after a few theories, one hits, boom, ah, this is it, we solved it. This is the history of science. They think they got it worked out, and then they find out, well, actually, it's not all worked out. And it goes on and on like this, and it will go on and on like this. Because they'll never come to understand everything. This method of trying to understand is doomed from the very start. It is based on the supposition that everything can be understood in a linear way, in a systematic way, you could say. It presumes that, just like they say, well, all the universe should follow the laws of, there should be uniform laws of physics for the whole universe. They presume that that the laws are uniform, and they can find out what the laws are, and then they'll understand everything that's going on. Now, one problem with this is the inherent limitations of human intelligence. One of the problems of this is the inherent limitations of human intelligence. It's easier to say it in Hindi, isn't it? Yeah, it seems to be easy. Another is the presumption that we can perceive everything through our limited senses. And another is just the fact that they missed altogether. Which by Bhakti Siddhanta we can understand. Is that reality is not as we expect it should be. It is paradoxical. According to normal understanding, something which is very big cannot fit within something which is very small. But Krishna can, does, and is. So the fact is that everything cannot and never will be explainable by mathematical so-called laws. Needs a head massage. And that's true even in this world, what to speak of the spiritual transcendent world beyond.
அது இந்த உலகத்திலேயே உண்மையானது அப்படி இருக்கும் பொழுது உன்னதமான ஆன்மீக உலகத்தை
ridiculous idea that feelings, emotions, ambitions, they can all be described by physical laws, mathematical laws. It's ridiculous. Bhakti, which is the ultimate feeling, desire, emotion, you're not going to be able to put that down on some mathematical law. But they try to explain this in absurd ways. Just like this Sigmund Freud, probably in India most people have never heard of him, but all the education is highly influenced by him.
Sigmund Freud, he
had a whole Pandora's box of absurd ideas. He had a whole treasure chest full of absurd ideas. Hey, why don't you take over? Someone give him a head massage, and then he can come back after 10 minutes. Give him a break. You want to go in? Okay, it's only trying. This is why we have to have a philosophical camp. I mean, you can't even translate it. We can talk about Bhakti Siddhanta and just tell some stories, the mango being stolen and this and that, which all demonstrates Bhakti Siddhanta, but we could go a little more also. So, one of the great ideas of Sigmund Freud, I have to say Sigmund Freud because there was on British TV, there used to be a cooking used to teach cooking, Clement Freud. So one of his ideas was this brilliant idea that God is the idea of God comes because man used to wander in tribes, what are they called, hunter-gatherer tribes, and one man was the strongest and he used to dominate the rest, and the God is the psychological alter ego of the head of the tribe in the old days when we were uncivilized.
Sigmund Freud கருத்து என்ன வினா மலைவாசிகளா இருக்கக்கூடியவங்களுக்கு வந்து பாத்தீங்க அப்படின்னா அது வந்து ஒரு தலைவரோட ஒரு தேவைப்படுது. அந்த தலைவர்களுக்கு கட்டுப்படுத்தக்கூடியவரா ஒருத்தர் இருக்காரு, அவர்தான் கடவுள்ன்ற மாதிரி ஒரு கருத்தை வந்து அவர் போதிச்சார்.
And more recently various people have come up with the idea that the belief in God is due to some gene left over in the DNA code that is not really necessary anymore, but somehow it's still there. And people who believe in God, it's just their, you know, bad evolutionary luck. That's all.
இப்போ வந்து டிஎன்ஏல இருக்கிற ஒரு கோட்னாலதான் வந்து கடவுள் இருக்கார் அப்படின்ற ஒரு நம்பிக்கை இருக்கு. அவங்களுடைய பரிணாமம் வளர்ந்து சரியா இல்லாத காரணத்தினால அது மாதிரியான ஒரு நம்பிக்கை வந்து தொடர்ந்து இருக்காங்க.
People are trying to make sense. They're trying to understand the world and make sense out of it.
உலகத்தை புரிஞ்சுட்டு அதன் மூலமா எல்லாம் புரிஞ்சுக்கலாம்னு ஒரு மக்கள் முயற்சி ஈடுபட்டு
But it doesn't make any sense. This whole world is absurd. What is absurd about it? It's not the inequalities and the disturbances. These things in themselves are not the disturbance.
பல விதமான குணாதிசயங்கள் மற்றும் பல விதமான தொந்தரவுகள் இது வந்து உண்மையான ஒரு பிரச்சனை கிடையாது.
In spiritual existence there's also inequalities and all kinds of disturbances.
ஆன்மீக நிலையில கூட பாத்தீங்க அப்படின்னா பல விதமான தொந்தரவுகள் மற்றும் பல விதமான குணாதிசயங்கள் நம்ம பார்க்கலாம் கூட.
But in the spiritual world, those disturbances, they give rise to rasa. Whereas in this material world, everything it simply gives rise to pain. So the empiric endeavor to bring everything under control, we can know everything. And in this way control the world. In the words of Stephen Hawking, and then we will know the mind of God, which means we'll also become on the same level with God. So the idea that everything should be reducible to some kind of knowledge that we can understand. This is actually impersonalism. It's dry. And the vice in spiritual existence is not the way. If you understand everything about him, there's no more fun left. Just like one box full of treasure gets brought into Vrishabhanu Raja's house and is put in the room of Radharani. It's some treasure chest. So that is brought in very carefully. It can't be opened until she's in the room. Then they open it up and out jumps Krishna. Well, if you already knew there was going to be Krishna, then there wouldn't be any fun left, would there? So if you know everything, then there's no Leela, there's no Vilasa, there's no fun. So the idea, we'll know everything, we'll control everything, we'll predict everything, it just makes life boring. Nirasa, no rasa. Boring. Rasahinam. So the mundane attempt to understand everything is an attempt to reduce, to take the sparkle out of everything, just to know it, as if to make everything a subject of our knowledge.
So பௌதிக ரீதியா எல்லாத்தையுமே வந்து புரிஞ்சுக்கிறது அப்படின்ற முயற்சி வந்து எல்லாமே என்னுடைய கட்டுதல் இருக்கக்கூடிய ஞானத்தின் மூலம் வந்து அதிகரிக்கிற ஒரு கருத்துக்கள் வந்து அதை வந்து புரியுது.
It is a most unnatural approach. It's just to give some example, if a child, he starts measuring everything his father does, takes a record of how many times a day does he drink tea, how many times does he smoke a cigarette,
ஒரு நாளைக்கு எவ்வளவு தடவை ஒரு டீ குடிச்சிருக்காரு, ஒரு நாளைக்கு எவ்வளவு தடவை ஒரு சிகரெட் குடிச்சிருக்காரு அப்படின்ற கணக்கு போடணும்னு அந்த பையன்
and then makes a note of everything he says and then tries to make a psychological analysis of it all.
அவர் சொல்ற விஷயங்கள் எல்லாத்தையும் வந்து எழுதி வச்சுக்கிறது, அப்புறம் அவர் சொல்ற விஷயங்கள் எல்லாம் வந்து மேற்கோள் காட்டி ஒரு மனோதத்துவ ரீதியா ஒரு ஒரு கருத்தை வந்து தெரிவிக்க முயற்சி பண்ணது அப்படின்னா
it's most unnatural for a child to deal with the father like that.
அவர் அப்பாவோட ஒரு ஒரு குழந்தையானவர் வந்து இந்த மாதிரியான வகையில வந்து பரிமாற்றத்தை வச்சுக்கிறது வந்து ரொம்ப செயற்கையான ஒரு ஒரு சூழ்நிலை.
And if he'd started to do that, the father would just crack him on the head and just say, look, just do what I say. So Krishna, through material nature, is cracking the jivas on their head and saying, listen, just do it. The mother is cracking and saying, hey, do what your father says. Do what Krishna says. No, no, I'm making my report. I have to get my Nobel Prize. So this is all absurd. There's all this science and study, it's all very dry. They all want to study everything. Some people understand it's absurd and they become distressed. Or they become voidists. You think, well, this can't be real. Reality, this, there can't be anything real. If this is all we know that's real, then there can't be anything real. Or they become comedians. Comedians, jokesters. They're just, you know, just like they're making... They can't resolve. They can't understand all the paradoxes around them. Therefore, they just make fun. The empiricists, they're trying to say, there's no paradox. Everything is very clear. Everything's okay. We've understood everything. Don't worry. And the jokesters, they're simply laughing that this is all nonsense. But they themselves don't know why it's nonsense. That's maybe why the humor of one culture is not understood in another culture. It's like the humor in Britain is not so well understood in America, and vice versa. And I think if you brought British comedians here, no one would understand what's funny at all. They'd probably think that that's what you're supposed to be doing. Isn't it a joke how Indians are following the West? So, of course, in India they have a tradition of joking also. It's not that... It's not that it's absent at all. Mutala, what is it?
It's not there at all.
Uh-huh. Just like you have the jester who's with the king, that's there in the West and in India.
Udaharanathukku, the Raja,
He's relieving the king and everyone else from the paradox, actually.
அவர் வந்து ராஜா மற்றும் மற்ற நபர்களை வந்து முரண்பாடான அந்த சூழ்நிலையிலிருந்து கொஞ்சம் நிவர்த்தி கொடுக்கிறார். அவங்களுக்கு
the king is taking side. He's actually just a human being like you and me in many ways, but he's taking such an exalted position, and then the jester just blows, you know, one of these things in his face and mimics him and all this kind of thing, and everyone laughs, including himself, otherwise you go crazy.
ராஜா வந்து ஒரு நம்ம மாதிரி ஒரு தவறு சாதாரண ஆனா அவர் வந்து ஒரு முக்கியமான பொறுப்பு எடுத்துருக்காரு. ஆனா அப்படிப்பட்டவருக்கும் வந்து இந்த நகைச்சுவையை உண்டாக்கக்கூடியவர் என்ன பண்றாரு அப்படின்னா, ஏதாவது சில செயல்களை பண்ணி இல்ல ஏதாவது சில முகபாவனைகளை பண்ணி அவர் பண்ணக்கூடிய அந்த செயல்கள் மூலமா எல்லாருமே வந்து சிரிப்பு ஏற்படுறது. அது ராஜாவும் கண்டிப்பா சிரிக்கிறது. அப்படி இல்லைன்னா வந்து அவருடைய நிலம் வந்து ரொம்ப மோசமாயிடும்.
Yeah, Bhakti Siddhanta. What is Bhakti Siddhanta? Can we know all of it? Can we know everything about Bhagavan and about Bhakti?
So Bhakti Siddhanta is what? Bhagavan is what all things are, but Bhakti is what all things are. What do you mean?
Bhakti means to recognize the paradox.
So Bhakti means
instead of trying to deny it, in the materialists, they're trying to deny. We're trying to control the world. We've got everything under control here, but they're just tiny little beings. We have such big desires and such little capacity to fulfill them. So they either try to deny the paradox, or they recognize it, but they're just like that. They become a comedian or an existentialist or something like this. But bhakti means to live with the paradox. Now that's an English idiomatic saying, to live with something. It means to tolerate or to accept it. Just like you might say, well, I my hand got chopped off in an accident, but I've learned to live with it. And living with it, I've accepted it. But bhakti means literally to live with the paradox. You live with Krishna. And that's all of what bhakti is about, from one perspective. And here we are, we tiny and totally insignificant jiva. And here is Krishna, who's totally unlimited in all respects.
இங்க இன்னொரு பக்கத்துல கிருஷ்ணா இருக்க, அவர் வந்து அளவிற்கு அப்பாற்பட்டவர்.
And the jiva by bhakti can tie up Krishna.
அப்புறம் என்ன அப்படின்னா, இந்த ஜீவனாக பண்றது கிருஷ்ணரை வந்து பக்தியினால கட்டுக்குள்ள கொண்டு வர
முடியும். Or when Krishna's out playing with his friends. No, I won't come back. I'm playing with my friends.
கிருஷ்ணர் வந்து அவருடைய நண்பர்களோட விளையாடிட்டு இருக்கார். அப்ப வந்து ஜீவன் சொல்ற மாதிரி, இல்ல நான் வந்து வரமாட்டேன் அப்படின்னு சொல்லி சொல்றேன்.
கிருஷ்ணர் இஸ் அவுட் பிளேயிங் வித் ஹிஸ் ஃப்ரெண்ட்ஸ் அண்ட் தி சர்வன்ட்ஸ் ஆர் காலிங், கம் பேக், யூ ஹேவ் டு கம் பேக் ஃபார் லஞ்ச்.
கிருஷ்ணர் வந்து அவருடைய நண்பர்களோட விளையாடிட்டு இருக்காங்க.
He says, no, no, if I go back, then my friends, they won't play with me tomorrow. So so. He's the supreme. But he's afraid of what his friends will think of him. And even Rohini comes and she calls him and he says and runs off.
Rohini,
and she won't go with her.
Rohini ma vandu kutta kuda avaru vandu appo kuda varadilla avaru enna pandraru avaru paathadhu kuda odi poyidaru.
Then there's no other choice. Yashoda herself has to go and then Krishna has to go back.
Appo enna vera valiye illa Yashoda ma varanga appo Yashoda vandala Krishna vandu thirupi avaru
kutta. Krishna is walking back like a good boy, looking at all the friends. Ooh, ooh, ooh. When Krishna comes back in the evening from the pasturing grounds, all the demigods are waiting and offering prayers.
Krishna
and Krishna's friends, his cowherd boyfriends, think it's a great joke. They come in front of Krishna and imitate Brahma and Shiva and Indra offering prayers. So could someone just explain this, please? Give some psychological theory. It's not possible. It's paradoxical. And this is all the fun of bhakti. That's what makes
bhakti.
How the Supreme Lord, the greater than the greatest, he destroys Hiranyakashipu, the greatest personality in controlling the whole universe. Why does he do that? For the sake of a little boy. And Nrsimha, he won't become peaceful. Brahma is asking him, Lakshmi is asking him, he won't cool. When Prahlad says, could you just cool down a little bit now? Hiranyakashipu is dead now, you can cool down. He says, okay, alright. Then he agrees.
Brahma, Lakshmi,
so the materialists, they just totally want to understand reality without understanding this, which is really the only, this is reality and everything else is of no importance besides this. Because they have taken a pact not to understand Krishna, therefore to be separate from Krishna, therefore they are nashtadmanol pabuddhiha, they are lost to themselves and of very little intelligence. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he came to establish Bhaktisiddhanta. First of all, this whole approach of trying to understand by one's own endeavor, this must be stopped.
பக்தி சித்தாந்தம்
Gyane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiyavartam sthane stita shutikitam tanuvangvanopi I prayasho jita jitopya pitaistri lokyam. Yeah, the whole endeavor to understand by one's own faculties should be given up. And one should simply become humble. And one should live simply to hear Bhakti Siddhanta from the Bhakti Siddhantas.
In the Bhakti Siddhanta, the Bhakti Manakuri, Bhakti Siddhanta,
instead of trying to change one's position from this position to that position and adjust everything in the material world, just relax, forget all that stuff. And just get absorbed in hearing about Krishna, being absorbed in Krishna. And by doing so, one can conquer the unconquerable. That's not possible. This is contradictory. You cannot conquer the unconquerable. That's the, I mean, what's the meaning of these words? Unconquerable means unconquerable. Okay, go back to the beginning of the verse. Gyane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva. Give up the endeavor to understand all these things. And then follow, and then you can come to the point of conquering the unconquerable. And every time you get to the end of the verse, and then you say, whoop, that's not possible, you have to go back to the beginning. So much of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's endeavor was concerned with getting people to understand these words. Gyane prayasa mudapasya. Give up this endeavor to understand by our own so-called own, with the very fact that we think it is our own is a disease in the first place. To give up this endeavor to endeavor to understand by our own faculties. Then namanta eva, being humble, that's a really tough one. We have to work on it. It's not going to happen all at once. Therefore, tadvidhi pranipatena, come to Guru, one who knows, bow down. That's the beginning. At least if you can bow down, there's some hope. And then, having bowed down, not just as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, this dandavat class, they just bow down, and okay, bow down, did it. Okay, let's go off and do whatever else we're doing. Bow down, then sit down. Hear something. Boshechi Shongera Ashe. This, we didn't sing that yet. We come for association. That means here. Namanteva Jivanti Sanvakaritam Bhavadiyavarta. We should go on spending our whole life hearing from the devotees about Krishna. then without making so many mundane endeavors, we should simply absorb ourselves in with all our faculties, instead of trying to understand this world, just hear and serve Krishna.
நம்ம வந்து எல்லாத்தையும் புரிஞ்சுக்கிற முயற்சி பண்றதோட நம்ம வந்து கிருஷ்ணனை பத்தி கேட்கறதுல ஈடுபட்டு நம்ம வந்து அந்த மாதிரி சேவை பண்ணணும்.
And by doing so, we can conquer the unconquerable. It means we can conquer Krishna by love, by bhakti.
அந்த மாதிரி நம்ம பண்ணும்போது கிருஷ்ணரை பக்தியின் மூலமா நம்ம அவரை நம்ம அவரை நம்ம அவரை நம்ம கட்டுக்கு கொண்டு வரணும்.
And don't try to understand it.
ஆனா அதை இது புரிஞ்சுக்க முயற்சி பண்ணாது.
Mother Yashoda, she's not thinking, how is it that Krishna is coming to me when after all he's the Param Brahma? She doesn't try to understand it. Even those who do understand it, like Devaki and Vasudeva, they also don't try to, they don't spend much time trying to understand it all.
தேவகி வந்து அவங்க கூட வந்து இந்த கிருஷ்ணன் எப்படி
There's no university in Dwarka where people can get their PhD on the psychology of controlling Krishna or any such thing. They just live it all the time. They live with the paradox.
துவாரகால வந்து ஒரு பெரிய பல்கலை கிடையாது எப்படி வந்து கிருஷ்ணரை பற்றின விஷயங்களை புரிஞ்சுக்கிறதுக்கான ஒரு வழி இருக்கு அப்படிங்கிறது வந்து அவங்க யாரும் முயற்சி பண்ணிருக்கிறாங்க. ஆனா கிருஷ்ணருடைய என்னதான் முரண்பாடு இருக்கோ அதுக்குமே அவங்க வந்து தொடர்ந்து அவங்க வாழ்க்கையை நடத்திருக்காங்க.
And they'll say openly among themselves, how fortunate are we that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we're living with him. He's our father. Our brother, or son, or husband, or whatever. Of course, Rupa Goswami has analyzed all this in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But it's not that we're trying to understand, apply any formula to this.
ரூப கோஸ்வாமி அவர் வந்து பக்தி ரசாமிரத்தில இந்த விஷயங்கள் எல்லாம் அவர் வந்து ரொம்ப அலைஞ்சு ஆராய்ஞ்சிருக்காரு. அதே சமயத்தில் அவர் வந்து இதுக்கு வந்து ஒரு வழிமுறை திட்டத்தை வந்து மேற்கோள் காட்டி புரிஞ்சுக்கிற மாதிரியான விஷயங்கள் ஈடுபடுது.
The formula is to associate with the great devotees. That's all.
முக்கியமான கருத்து என்ன அப்படின்னா பக்தர்களுடைய சங்கத்தில் நம்ம வந்து கொண்டு வரணும். அதான் முக்கியம்.
And therefore the great devotees come to this world. To exhibit or to by being here, then people fortunate, those who are fortunate, come to them. And the unfortunate try to analyze them. It's most ironic that personalities like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who spoke against this whole analytic method, that the analysts, they try to analyze them.
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati vande indha maadhiri bhaudhika reethiya vande ellathukku kanagiri panni purinjikalam abingara vishayatha muyanthi idupadravanga edutthu pesna vishayatha kuda ivanga vande aaraichi panni purinjikalam.
They try to say, well, you see, the social circumstances and the political circumstances and then his psychological makeup and all this garbage. They're trying to understand the acharyas through some kind of socio-cultural lens.
இந்த மாதிரியான அவருடைய போதனைகளை வந்து இந்த மாதிரி மனோதத்துவ ரீதியா மற்றும் அப்ப இருந்திருக்கக்கூடிய அந்த சமூக சூழ்நிலை மற்றும் அப்ப இருந்திருக்கக்கூடிய கலாச்சார சூழ்நிலை அப்படின்ற மாதிரி பல விதமான விஷயங்களை வந்து கணக்கில் கொண்டு அவங்க வந்து ஆராய்ச்சி பண்ணி புரிஞ்சுக்க முயற்சி பண்றாங்க.
There may be some socio-cultural lens because they act, the acharyas act within their circumstances they appear to lift others up.
அப்ப இருந்த சூழ்நிலையில சில சமூக சூழ்நிலைகள் இருந்திருக்கலாம், ஒரு விதமான கலாச்சாரங்கள் இருந்திருக்கலாம். ஆனா அப்படிப்பட்ட சூழ்நிலையிலும் அந்த நிலையிலிருந்து எப்படி உயர்த்தறது அப்படின்றதான் ஆச்சாரியர் பாக்குறாங்க.
But that does not define them. Those circumstances do not define them. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this paradox about him, that he was preaching bhakti, but he appeared to be so hard. It doesn't seem to make sense, because bhakti is pure love, pure affection. But that his hardness is a symptom of his love. If you intensely love someone, you can't tolerate that others will insult him or denigrate him or act against him. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, seeing the whole world against the sense of surrender to Krishna, he was very strongly against that. Just like you say, if you're overseas and someone speaks against India, you may feel, oh, it's very bad. Why are they speaking against my country? Or some foreigner speaks against the Prime Minister of India. Even you may not be that much inclined toward the Prime Minister, but you think, who are you to speak about our Prime Minister? I think in Tamil Nadu, not that many people have that much feeling for Manmohan Singh. Or for anyone who from North India for that matter. Or for outside Tamil Nadu for that matter. But someone we feel close to, then we become disturbed if they become insulted. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's warlike attack on Mayavadis, bogus Vaishnavas, empiricists, and everyone else, that is the symptom of his love for Krishna. If someone is against Krishna, then if you love Krishna, then naturally you should become upset, is it not? But his upsetness, it wasn't like he was just trying to kill them all, but his compassion that he wanted to rectify all the people who are against Krishna consciousness. So many of the things he said were apparently paradoxical or contradictory. It appears so according to mundane vision. he was not what you might have expected him to be. You expect that a sadhu will be always very calm and polite, which is not that he was impolite, but he was very, very heavy. He was known as lion-like. Expect that a sadhu will live in very renounced. Well, actually, he was very renounced. Then he took sannyas, and then he lived in a palace and had all nice clothes. He was living like Gorky Shah Das Babaji. Then after he took sannyas, he accepted fine clothing, upholstered room, and so many things. Car to drive in. So all this is impossible to understand unless one understands or one can appreciate. When I say understand, again, it's not by analytical understanding. If one can appreciate his intense bhakti, his intense desire to serve and please Krishna. And the very fact is that bhakti siddhanta, it's a completely different perspective to that of this world. So if we think it will be something that I can understand according to my preconceptions, that in itself is a misconception. One has to be prepared to start off namanta eva. First of all, admit that you don't know anything. Not only that, but I am incapable of knowing anything. Tomara Karuna Shah, the mercy of the devotees is the only hope and possibility for us. So as soon as we accept that we cannot understand him or Krishna, then we can begin to enter into bhakti. Understanding will be there, but in a completely different way to that which we understand at the present time. Bhakti is by its very nature unpredictable. Especially the Raja Bhakti. You just don't know what's going to happen next, and that's all the fun. That makes Krishna so attractive. So to give the vision of Bhakti Siddhanta came to this world.
So in the Bhakti Siddhanta,
And so many things he said which were just, they just turn upside down our whole way of thinking and understanding. For instance, he said that, yeah, about his being apparently harsh and hard, he said that in the present age, especially in the present age, the negative method will... Actually, I can read it out. I brought that here. The negative method is more efficacious than the positive method. Efficacious. Effective? It's a fancy way of saying effective. It means the same. More or less the same thing.
Negative method.
The negative method, well, I can read it out, but you won't be able to translate it anyway. I don't know, it's your language.
I just want to hear that one more time.
Okay, well, I'll read out what he said. The truth, satya, is propagated in a twofold way. This, namely, positively, by the method of direct support. How would you say that in Hindi? Positive and negative?
Sakaratmak, nakaratmak.
Sakaratmak?
Nakaratmak.
Nakaratmak. It's not really the same, is it?
It means
with form and without form. Akar? Is that based on sakar? Is based on akar? Or
it's not sakar, it's sakar.
Sakar. Sakar. Kara here means? Means action. Anyway, never mind. The truth cannot be... And negatively, by the method of opposition. The truth cannot be made sufficiently known by the positive method alone. Propaganda by the method of opposition, more than the presentation of the positive aspect, brings about more brilliantly in this world the appearance and glorification of the truth. So he went on to say that actually, Hiranyakashipu has better served the purpose of Godhead than has Prahlad. So we're going to say Hiranyakashipu ki jai. Well, he has a role in the wishes of the Lord also. He has shown that even if one fulfills all the desires that any jiva may have, even if you come to the level of Hiranyakashipu in fulfilling them, you remain miserable and you're destroyed by the Lord. So many amazing insights he gave. One of his disciples, Pranavananda, who later became Sri Bhakti Pramod Puri Goswami, he said that I lived with him for 20 years and he would speak daily. He would generally not speak less than 2 hours at a time.
And ஜெனரலி அவர் வந்து குறைந்த வருஷம் 2 மணி நேரத்துக்காவது பேசுறாரு.
He said, I never heard him say the same thing twice. I never heard him say the same thing twice. He always gave fresh angles all the time. His constant flow of Bhakti Siddhanta within his transcendental mind.
பக்தி சித்தாந்தத்துடைய விஷயங்கள் வந்து தொடர்ந்து புத்துணர்ச்சியோடு அவருக்கு வந்து எழுதிட்டே பார்த்துருது.
So we're very fortunate that Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada has presented us with the essence of all that. By which we can enter into that. He made it very easy for us. Otherwise, even to understand what he was saying was very difficult. Srila Prabhupada said, I used to listen to my Guru Maharaj. I couldn't understand what he was saying, but I just used to sit and listen anyway. After his lectures, the devotees would gather around Sri Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, and then he'd explain to them Sridhar Maharaj would explain to all the devotees what Sahasrara Thakur had just said. Put it in more simple. But Srila Prabhupada absorbed it all, and he absorbed it and presented it. Just like last Sunday, I said that if you ask anyone 2 days after a lecture, if you ask anyone what was said, then hardly anyone can remember more than 2%
what was said.
So then why should we bother speaking at all? Those who can hear, they will understand. And gradually by transcendental psychological osmosis, everyone can understand. If they're just by being there. Ramanuja Acharya, he recommended, if you can't do anything else, just go and sit in the association of Vaishnavas. You don't understand what they're saying, you have no idea how to serve them, just go and sit. Sit and keep quiet and just be there. So, any questions?
We might be reject Mayavad, saying that it doesn't make any sense. So, if the absolute truth is paradoxical.
Yeah, Mayavad doesn't make any sense, you're right. It's trying to make sense by denying. Actually, the absolute truth doesn't make sense. That's a fact. It doesn't make sense according to what we think is sensible. So the Mayavadis try to deny the nature of the absolute truth as being as it is, but the real thing is for us to become sensible according to the standard of the absolute truth instead of according to our own foolish ideas of what sensible means. All right. So Mayavad doesn't make any sense. That's true. Why, you want to say something in favor of it?
I'm just trying to understand that if they may take misuse this, that absolute truth is paradoxical. So even if we say the statement...
Oh, they do. They do misuse it. Yeah, I mean, they say that it's not possible to understand by words, and they say they do. Yeah. So, but... certainly, they misuse... It's not that we're going to stop speaking about Krishna because people will misuse that. To some extent, we have to see the audience also. We don't speak about Krishna stealing the gopis' clothes in the middle of non-devotees or less qualified devotees. But that doesn't mean that no one at any time should ever speak about that. It's not that we're going to pretend that this doesn't happen. We'll sanitize Krishna, civilize him. We'll sanitize Krishna. Who's the doctors here? What's the Tamil word for sanitize? Sudharam? Suhanam. Or we'll civilize Krishna. The Mayavadis are very polite. Rascal politeness. They say that, well, this shows, this Vastra Haran Leela shows that, well, you have to be naked before God. That means you have to, what do they say? Something like you have to give up all pretensions before him. Or some. This is the way Mayavadis try to explain it. Krishna stole the gopis' clothes. They came before him naked. Now we shouldn't speak about these things. These things should not be spoken about among materialistic people or Mayavadis. That just shows the fact that they can't accept this Leela as it is, just shows their consciousness is the same as the materialists. They're on the same level of consciousness. That they feel a need to explain it, so in terms by which we can accept it, just goes to show that they're actually their consciousness is materialistic. They haven't. They're in the same paradigm as the materialists. They haven't understood the nature of the Absolute. Both of them deny the Absolute. Gross materialists deny that there is any spiritual dimension. And the Mayavadis, they give lip service to it while denying it's everything that it is, that he is. So we can best serve Bhakti Siddhanta by following in the footsteps Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vedanta.
நம்ம வந்து இந்த பக்தி சித்தாந்தத்தை வந்து எப்படி பின்பற்றுறது அப்படின்னா, பக்தி சித்தாந்தம் மற்றும் பக்தி வேதாந்தம் அவங்கள பின்பற்றுவது மூலமா.
We shouldn't think that this Mayavad is some outdated sectarian squabble.
இந்த மாயாவாதம் அப்படிங்கிறது வந்து காலம் கடந்த ஒரு கலாச்சாரம் அப்படின்னு நம்ம சொல்ல முடியாது.
It's the disease in the heart of every conditioned soul.
இது வந்து கட்டுண்ட ஆத்மாக்கள், எல்லா கட்டுண்ட ஆத்மாக்களுக்கும் இருக்கக்கூடிய ஒரு நோய்.
Since time immemorial and forever into the future.
எதிர்காலத்திலையும் சரி மற்றும் காலம் பிற்காலத்தில் கணக்கிட முடியாத அளவுக்கு இருக்கக்கூடிய, அதிலே தொடரக்கூடிய ஒரு வியாதி.
Yeah, what was your question anyway?
Means, if they argue like that, how to defend them? If they say, anyway, absolute truth is illogical, paradoxical.
Yeah. Therefore we have to understand from by Bhakti Siddhanta. If the Mayavadis say that the absolute is ultimately paradoxical, cannot be understood, yeah, well then we have to understand in the right way.
மாயாவாதிகள் சொல்றாங்க இது மாதிரி இந்த பகவான பற்றிய விஷயங்கள் வந்து முழுமே முரண்பாடு கொண்டது, அதனால அவர் தெரிஞ்சுக்க முடியாதுன்னு சொல்றாங்க.
Your way is the wrong way.
நம்ம வந்து சொல்றோம் உங்களுடைய வழி வந்து தவறான வழி.
By saying that you are equal to the Supreme in all respects, that is incorrect. See, paradoxical doesn't mean that it's without any form or purpose. That's what the Mayavadis want to say. There's no paradox in formlessness.
ரூபம் எதுவும் கிடையாது, ஒரு குறிப்பு குறிப்பான குறிக்கோள் எதுவும் கிடையாது அப்படின்ற மாதிரியான கருத்தை வெளிப்பட்டது கிடையாது.
There's no நாம் ரூப் குண் லீலா, then there's no paradox either.
நாமம் ரூபம் குணம் லீலை இதெல்லாம் வந்து பகவான் கிட்ட நம்ம பார்க்க முடியாது அப்படின்னா, அங்க வந்து முரண்பாடும் நம்மளால பார்க்க முடியாது.
There's no ராசா,
என்ன ரசத்தையும் நம்மளால பார்க்க முடியாது.
That's what they say, it's just pure consciousness. Consciousness of what? How the consciousness has to have some object.
ஏதோ ஒரு உணர்வு, உணர்வு எங்கே தோன்றுகிறது, எங்கே உணர்வு தோன்றுகிறது அப்படின்ற கேள்வி.
விஷயம் ஆப்ஜெக்ட் யூ செட், தேர் மஸ்ட் பீ சம் சப், வெல் ஐ கெஸ் தட்ஸ் சப்ஜெக்ட், யா. It must be, yeah, in Vaishnava terminology, that would be ashray, actually. Yeah, that would. Yeah. So, how are you going to speak with Mayavadis? It's not very fruitful to speak with them in a very logical way, because they're so illogical. Therefore, better to take the approach of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and just cut it with a sword. I mean, it wasn't his original idea. There are many Vaishnava Acharyas who... You just have to cut it and fight it and show its absurdity. The fact is that the spiritual reality is paradoxical but not absurd. Whereas this material world, it is paradoxical and absurd. Reality is paradoxical. But this perverted reflection called the material world is absurd. And that is not absurd. That is the fact. To try to negate it because you can't understand it, or because you're inimical to it, then you just try to negate it all. That's another absurdity and impossibility. So we should perform the Pushpanjali, is it not? So let's do that. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaja Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.